Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akilah Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the Cabinet has been meeting in Donegal today for the final time before the summer recess. A Donegal deputy says the pace the government has progressed the MICA redress scheme is totally unacceptable. Investigations are continuing after Finn Park in Ballybofey was vandalised in recent days. And Irish Language Minister Sean Kine says the completion of the South Donegal Irish Language Plan will help preserve and grow the language in the area. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the EU's chief Brexit negotiator Michel Barnier has dismissed the British Prime Minister's calls to change the withdrawal agreement as unacceptable. It comes as Boris Johnson and Leo Varadkar restate their positions over the Brexit backstop. The two leaders have positioned themselves on opposite sides of the argument when it comes to negotiating a deal. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
Many had wondered if Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister, would be as hardline as Boris Johnson, the campaigner. The line trotted out again and again from government sources has been that you campaign in poetry and govern in prose, with the thinking being that Boris Johnson's position would become more moderate when he gets to the negotiating table. And that might still happen, but his first speech in the House of Commons doesn't suggest it will.
A time limit is not enough. If an agreement is to be reached, it must be clearly understood that the way to the deal goes by way of the abolition of the backstop.
That's completely at odds with what Taoiseach Leo Varadkar said, a position he reiterated today.
The backstop is an integral part of the withdrawal agreement. Without the backstop, there is no withdrawal agreement. So I hope that the new UK Prime Minister hasn't chosen no deal, but that will be up to them.
The EU are supporting Mr. Varadkar's position, so the two sides are completely at odds. Both have said they look forward to talking and possibly negotiating an alternative that achieves the same thing. But so far, no ideas on the table that avoids a hard border without linking the UK to EU rules that would keep the government here, the Tory party and the DUP happy. Meanwhile, the clock's ticking down, with 98 days to go until the Brexit deadline. Sean Defoe in Donegal.
The Taoiseach was speaking in Glencolumbkill this afternoon, where the Cabinet met today for the final time before the summer break. The last Cabinet meeting held in Donegal was in 2002, when the then Taoiseach Bertie Ahern brought his ministers to Glenbeigh National Park. The Cabinet meeting took place at the Idjas Scale premises in the village. It's run by Liam O'Kinnigan, the former Cathaoirleach of Uttaris na Gaeltachta.
It is historic. It's not every community gets that opportunity, especially a small community like Glen here. It's not something that happens very often. If it ever happens again, so we're proud to have it. And, some of the ministers have been here on Irish language courses before with us, so I think they're probably familiar with the area, and they had a good time here when they were here before. So this today is all about business and about the Cabinet business, but we're delighted to host it.
I'm sure that you touched on there, a lot of preparations went into today.
Well, we're at the height of our season, just gained summer school and courses and all that. So we have up to 150 people on courses. So we've moved lock, stock and barrel to the local primary school and moved in chairs till 10:30 last night and stuff. And borrowing tables from Kilcar, the next parish.
The pace the government has progressed the MICA redress scheme is totally unacceptable. That's according to Donegal Deputy Charlie McConnogh, who says homeowners received false promises when they were told they would see redress by the end of last year. It follows last evening's public meeting on MICA redress, during which affected homeowners received an update on the scheme after the MICA Action Group met with the Housing Minister, Owen Murphy. Deputy McConnogh says as the problem worsens with time, there is an urgent need for the scheme to be finalised without any further delays.
Every step of the process has taken much longer than what was committed to. When the expert panel was announced in December 2015, it was supposed to report by May 2016. Yet the actual members of that panel weren't in place by May 2016. So then the panel reported, it sat at the minister's desk for a good number of months. So it was late 2017 before that actually was published. And then last year, in the budget last year, finally we got a commitment that the scheme would happen and that there would be a budgetary allocation to it. But homes were supposed to be fixed by the start of this year. and the scheme details were supposed to be published by the end of last year. Yet here we are now tonight here at this meeting and we still don't have the scheme published. So this dilly-dallying must stop. Homeowners, the pressure they're experiencing is simply unacceptable. The delays are unacceptable. And also, the more time is left, the problem becomes worse with time. So the commitment here given tonight was that it would be open to applications by September. But there's still lots of loose ends, lots of unanswered questions. And we need to see the government seriously turn their minds to actually addressing those and getting the scheme finalised so that it is published in September and so that homeowners can start to apply to it and we can start to see homes fixed.
And Marco Doherty, representing Minister Joe McHugh's office, said that it was a complicated process, but there was some sort of foundation there given the pyrite scheme.
Yes, there was. There'll be slight differences in this and that it'll be a grant scheme. And I think the MICA redress or the MICA Action Group have agreed to work with the grant scheme, and I think there are certain merits to that. But the important thing now is that being decided, that the actual scheme is finalised, that the details are published, applications are published, so that homeowners can apply for it.
Investigations are continuing after Finn Park in Ballybofey was vandalised in recent days. Part of the river end of the pitch was burnt, while a fire hydrant was also ripped from its container. Attempts were also made to break in to the club shop. CCTV in the area is currently being examined and Aidan Campbell, commercial officer with Finn Harps, is urging anyone with information to come forward.
There was people in the clubhouse till late, I suppose half nine, 10 o'clock, so it obviously happened very late at night, and they would have gained access to the ground somehow. It would have taken a fair bit of determination to do so. And it was kind of strange because there was fire hydrants up the river end of the pitch on the right hand side, and it was just sitting on the steps. So they'd actually taken the fire hydrant, gone out onto the pitch and sprayed it in a line of about, I don't know, 25, 30 feet, and it just left a big mark the next day. It looked like if you look at the actual picture, like it's actually burned. I don't know, is it the heat or what happened, was it? But now, we don't want to over-dramatise it because the pitch will be fine from the advice we've got. Our club shop, one of our fantastic volunteers, Anne Kelly, knows that there was forced entry and it was quite a determined effort because there's steel doors and it would take a fair bit of commitment to try and do the damage to it. But thankfully, didn't get in, and if they had, they probably would have wrecked a lot of merchandise, and there's an awful lot of hard work goes into, as you know, keeping these things going. So, as I said, we don't want to over-dramatise it, Greg. It's just very disappointing, and you know, we obviously had the guards around, and they said just to, you know, definitely go public with it, and if anybody's got any information, to contact Ballybofey Garda Station.
The government says the Ryder Cup coming to Ireland will lead to a significant boost for the economy. Adair Manor will host the tournament in 2026 after agreement was reached with the European Tour. It's expected to cost around €50 million to host. However, Sports Minister Shane Ross says it will result in a boost to the economy of up to €160 million, and private money is involved as well.
The deal between JP McManus or Adair Manor and the European Tour is a matter of themselves. But he's certainly putting an enormous amount of money into the course. He's paying for all those internal repairs, anything that has to be done, construction, and everything to do with that will be his responsibility. We don't know how much that involves.
Donegal County Council is to hold a special workshop to discuss 5G and mining, two of the most controversial issues that may face members in the months and years ahead. In terms of mining, a recent application for an exploration licence in the Glenfinn area was withdrawn, but communities say it could become an issue again in the future. In the case of 5G, concerns have been expressed about possible developments right across the county, from Bundoran to Buncrana and most recently in Raphoe. Calling for a special workshop, Councillor Niamh Kennedy says it's important that members have the facts about these contentious issues.
So we can sit down, as I say, and get an understanding of the 37 councillors throughout the county to see. I know it's in Bundoran already, and I know there's been a lot of complaints from that area. I know that they're talking about Donegal Town as well. And there are people then afraid when they see masts and stuff going up that this is going to be be another 5G and we're all going to be, you know, ill from it and whatever it is. So there's a lot of myths out there and there's an awful lot of misinformation, and I think we need to get the facts before we can make any decisions and then get back out to the public to represent the people to see
the other issue. The other issue you want to see discussed at a workshop is mining. At the moment there's what might best be termed a reprieve. There was a big application there that's been withdrawn, but there's nothing to say that won't come back on the table in 3, 6, 9 months time. The people want more clarity, you believe?
Yes, they do. There's been a number of meetings throughout the county. There was one in Donegal Town and one down in the Glenswell area as well, and people were, they were well attended and people were well concerned. Now again, we need to get the facts and we need to have a balanced approach to this as well and see what the pros and cons of it is, if there are any, again, like I said. But I feel that there's not enough information out there, and I was chatting to Minister Canny on it recently, and they, our own Oireachtas members, were supposed to meet with him in connection with the same issue. Now I don't think that meeting has happened yet, but I was told that when it did happen that we would be fed back the information and that he would have a more detailed conversation with us around it. But again, we need information before we can, you know, make any judgment on things like that.
Irish Language Minister Sean Kine says the completion of the South Donegal Irish Language Plan will help preserve and grow the language in the area. Minister Kine and his predecessor, Minister Joe McHugh, addressed a special function last night to mark the implementation of the plan. Catherine Gaffney has more.
At a special function in the Slieve League Tourism Centre last evening, Ministers Sean Kine and Joe McHugh welcomed the implementation of the South Donegal Language Plan, one of a number which have been under preparation for some time. Under the plan, a number of measures are proposed to strengthen the Irish language in the area. Minister Kine told the meeting that 15 Gaeltacht language planning areas have been approved to date under the language planning process, and the North Donegal plan is being considered by the department at present. 9 language planning officers and 3 assistant language planning officers have been employed to date. Meanwhile, the drawing up of plans for Gaeltacht service towns is continuing in 8 areas of the country, including Dunloe and Letterkenny.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, with a great selection of adults and children's Donegal GEA jerseys. Shop online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past 5 and time for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Well, starting with golf, as you heard in the news, the Ryder Cup has been confirmed for Adair Manor in 2026. It will be the first time in 20 years that the prestigious tournament will have been played on Irish soil. Adair Manor is owned by Limerick businessman JP McManus, who says the tournament will be an opportunity to showcase Ireland on the world stage. And European director of the Ryder Cup, Guy Kinnings, says after the success of the Open at Portrush last week, the decision was a no-brainer.
The whole island of Ireland is immersed in golf and holds it dear to their hearts. They love to see top quality golf, and when 24 of the best players on the planet get to play in 2026, they will produce an atmosphere that will be second to none, and that's really important.
Elsewhere in golf, Darren Clark has a share of the lead on day one of the Senior Open that's taking place at Royal Lytham and St Anne's. The 2011 Open champion has finished in the clubhouse on 2 under par following a round of 68. It's a mark he shares with, among others, Colin Montgomery. Paul McGinley, he's on the course, he just started his round. He's 2 over par through 4. Des Smith's finished in the clubhouse. He shot 75 for 5 over par. Play is currently suspended due to the threat of lightning. And the World Golf Championship FedEx St Jude Invitational, it gets underway on the PGA Tour this evening in Memphis. Rory McIlroy is among a host of top names, including the world's top 10 players, playing in this event. It tees off very shortly. Moving on to soccer, and Shamrock Rovers take on Apollon Limassol in the second qualifying round of the Europa League tonight. Rovers are midway through their league season, while the Cypriot First Division doesn't get underway until later next month. But Rovers manager Stephen Bradley doesn't feel that'll give them too big an advantage.
Maybe that can help us in terms of match fitness, but they've played some top-class friendlies in the last few weeks, so I don't think they'd be lacking in sharpness or game intelligence or game management. I think these are a top team with top players all around the pitch, and it's one we're going to have to be on their top game to try and get something over.
Kick-off in Tala this evening is at 8 o'clock. Elsewhere, Wolves, they play their first European game since a first-round UEFA Cup exit in 1980. Nuno Espirito Santo's side, they face the Northern Irish Cup winners, Crusaders. That game is played at Molyneux. In other news, Arsenal have confirmed the signing of midfielder Dani Ceballos on a season-long loan from Real Madrid. Back at home, Derry City, they've added to their squad with the signing of Scottish midfielder Grant Gillespie. The 28-year-old is a former Hamilton, Dundee United and Raith Rovers player and has been on trial with the Candy Stripes over the past week. He has been signed until the end of the season. Derry manager Declan Devine's delighted with the signing and it now gives him more options in midfield.
Delighted. It was an area we felt we didn't have a lot of strength and depth, but we brought Grant Gillespie to the club today and he was in last week with us. He played behind closed doors in a game and he was excellent, but he didn't need to play in that game because we knew he was an excellent player anyway. You know, we're delighted to bring him to the club because he's a guy that has played over 250, 260 games in the highest level in Scotland. He can play in a team and break play up, but he can also be very creative in his play as well and his approach play. So his experience, his quality and his demeanour as a man are all very important to us, and he'll be a fantastic addition to the group.
Well, Gillespie's signing comes the week of the Derby with Finn Harps. Derry are chasing down third place in the Premier Division and a European spot. The Candy Stripes are unbeaten in their last seven league games and they're looking to carry out that form onto Finn Park on Friday night. The Derry boss says they're in a good place going into the Derby.
It's a Derby game, but more importantly, it's 3 points. It's up for stake. We got to make sure that, you know, our quest for points is relentless. It's an opportunity. You get the same amount of points for winning every game. But yes, we are fully aware that, you know, these games can be quite heated. These games are to be treated on their merits. But we've got to go and do what we're good at, and what we're good at is playing. We're a very good defensive unit. We're a very good attacking unit. We've got players on the pitch that can hurt you in both boxes. So, look, we're in a good place going to the game. We go on there with a lot of confidence. But we're also going on there with a lot of respect, knowing that, you know, we're playing Finn Harps. It is our biggest rivals. But ultimately, we got to take care of ourselves. And whatever the game throws up, whether it's a positive or negative, we take it on the chin and we move on.
Finn Harps against Derry City tomorrow night. Finn Park, of course, kick-off time at 8 o'clock. There's full coverage of that game here in Highland Radio. On to Gaelic games in the senior hurling last night. St Dunan's defeated Burt 325-212. And Buncrana, they were defeated by Setanta. It finished Buncrana 12 points, Setanta 6-18. On the pitch tonight in football in All-County League Division 2, Airua Ballyshannon, they play Glenfinn. And Killybegs, they're up against St Noel's. Both those games starting at 8 o'clock. And elsewhere in Gaelic games, ahead of the final round of games in the quarter-final phase Super 8s, the GAA have confirmed the fixture structure for the All-Ireland football semi-finals. Donegal are in Group 1 and know that a draw or a win in Castlebar on Saturday the 3rd of August will send them into the last four. If Donegal finish runners-up behind Kerry, they'll play on Saturday the 10th of August at Croke Park at 5 o'clock against the Group 2 winner, which we know will be either Dublin or Tyrone. If Donegal win the group, they'll face the runner-up of Group 2 on Sunday the 11th of August at 3:30. Moving on to rugby, and Ian Henderson, he'll succeed Rory Best as Ulster club captain. The 27-year-old, who has 44 Irish caps and featured for the Lions, Henderson says he's incredibly proud and excited to be appointed as club captain. And Cricket Ireland have had a good afternoon with the ball in their test against England at large. 5 wickets fell for the loss of 48 runs, and a short time ago, England were 235 for 6. That gives the hosts a lead of 113. Finally, for this evening in cycling, Julian Alaphilippe retains the leader's yellow jersey after the first Alpine stage of this year's Tour de France. Today's 18th stage was won by Nairo Quintana with an attack by Egan Bernal doing most of the damage today. The Team Ineos rider is now the closest challenger to Alaphilippe. With 3 stages remaining, he's 1 minute 30 seconds behind the French rider. Dan Martin, he lost almost 22 minutes in general classification today, and he's now over 34 minutes down on Alaphilippe. Well, that's all your sport this evening. The next sport here on Highland will be after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. For the moment, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, a South Donegal deputy believes returning immigrants are being unfairly penalised under the current driving licence arrangements. Fianna Fáil spokesperson on Transport, Tourism and Sport, Deputy Mark McSharry, says the current system is discriminatory and makes no sense. Irish people returning from the US cannot exchange their valid American driving licence for the Irish equivalent. They're forced instead to sit a driving test again. Deputy McSharry says this is particularly disturbing in light of initiatives such as Donegal Connect.
It's ridiculous in the extreme, and it's putting appallingly prohibitive and unnecessary obstacles in the way of people who are making the move home. In one instance, for example, was a consultant for an acute hospital within our region who had an Irish passport for 20 years, went to America, had an American passport for 25 years, came back and was told, no, you need to go back to the beginning. I raised it at the highest level myself, and I was told it was a question of road safety. So really, we need some common sense applied to what are the appropriate road safety measures that we have in this country. But what's happening heretofore, it totally defies logic and is totally unnecessary.
The point's been made in Donegal in particular, where we have the Donegal Connect initiative, inviting members of the diaspora back to Donegal with a view towards investing, with a view towards relocating, with a view towards bringing their skills home. On the one hand, we're saying to them, we want you. On the other hand, we're throwing obstacles in their way like this.
That is precisely the point. And the excellent initiative with the Donegal Diaspora and the Donegal Connect initiative for later this year, we hope that for our region and for our nation, is going to contribute significantly in terms of the potential investment that we can get for people who have been successful abroad, reinvesting or in fact removing here to this country. But at the same time, what we're not telling them, as much as ministers like and governments like to trumpet that we're open for business, that we want our people back, but they're talking the talk, but when it comes to walking the walk, they are not.
For weather now, warm and humid for the rest of today with a good deal of cloud but a few sunny spells breaking through. Some scattered showers this evening, mild tonight with lowest temperatures of 14 to 16 degrees and moderate to fresh southeasterly winds. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the Cabinet met in Glencolmkill this afternoon for the final time before the summer break. The last Cabinet meeting held in Donegal was in 2002 when the then Taoiseach Bertie Ahern brought his ministers to Glenbeigh National Park. The pace the government has progressed the MICA redress scheme is totally unacceptable. That's according to Donegal Deputy Charlie McConlogue, who says homeowners received false promises when they were told they would see redress by the end of last year. Investigations are continuing after Finn Park in Ballybofey was vandalised in recent days. Part of the river end of the pitch was burnt while a fire hydrant was also ripped from its container, and attempts were also made to break into the club shop. And Donegal County Council is to hold a special workshop to discuss 5G on mining, two of the most controversial issues that may face members in the months and years ahead. Calling for a special workshop, Councillor Niamh Kennedy says it's important that members have the facts about these contentious issues. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 25th of July. The death has occurred of Paddy Gallagher, Carrick Road, Kilcar. His remains will repose at his daughter's home at Tawny Kilcar from 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Removal for funeral mass in St. Carthas Church, Kilcar, on Sunday at 11, with interment afterwards in Kilcar Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Tommy Orr, 3, Father Arnold Terrace, Manor Cunningham. Removal from the Donegal Hospice at 6 o'clock this evening, going to the family home at Trentamuckla, St. Johnson. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later. The death has occurred of James Connolly, Madigan Heights, 11, The Gardens, Ballymacool, Letterkenny, formerly of Ahascra, Ballinasloe, County Galway. James will repose at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, tomorrow afternoon from 2:30 to 3:30, with removal to St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for reception prayers at 4 o'clock. Reposing overnight for Requiem Mass at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, with burial afterwards in Newleck Cemetery, Letterkenny. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to St. Eunan's Cathedral Restoration Fund, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. House strictly private, please, at the request of the deceased. The death has taken place of Eddie McHugh, Monellan Killigordon, formerly of the Crokes, Clohan. His remains are reposing at his late residence at Monellan. Remains leaving there at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Church of Our Lady of Perpetual Help, Glenfim. Burial afterwards in Kilwira Cemetery. Rosary tonight at 10 o'clock. Family time, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow.
The death has occurred of Emmanuel Bokey, Cleary House, Letterkenny. Service of thanksgiving at Marley's funeral home tomorrow at 12 noon, with interment afterwards in Gortley Cemetery. The death has taken place of Dan Duffy, Weira, Jargon, Port Salon. His remains are reposing at the family home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning to St. Columbus Church, Massmount, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired to palliative care, Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Eamon Scott, funeral director. And the death has occurred of Emily McMenamin, Thorn Road, Letterkenny. Her remains will repose at her home until Rosary this evening at 9 o'clock. Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, with burial afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers only, please, donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director.